Welcome to the Better Business, Better Life podcast. I'm your host, Stuart Wilkinson. Today, we're going to have a talk about zero. In the previous episodes we've done recently, we've talked about the importance of accurate data and accurate financial data to make great decisions, whether it's for cash flow or changes you might want to make in your business. So today, we're joined by Tanya Fernandez and Naomi Lowe to talk about, two of our bookkeepers, to talk about zero. What are the common mistakes business owners make in zero? What are the top tips to make your life easier, whether it's just to save time or to make sure you've got good data in zero? So hopefully you all can take some practical tips away from this episode. If you like this episode, please give us a review wherever you're listening to us. And also make sure you subscribe on whatever platform as well, so you stay up to date with all the latest episodes from Rightway. Tanya and Naomi, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Stu.
Hi, Stu. Hi, Tanya.
Great.
Hi, Naomi.
Great to have you on here today. And today we're going to have a bit of a, well, this is very simplistic, but we'll have a chat about zero. In the previous episodes on the podcast, and if you haven't listened before, we've talked a lot about cash flow. We've talked about decision making. And Ethan in particular, who's our business partner in Dunedin, has talked a lot about, you know, to make good decisions, you've got to have up-to-date information. And obviously, Xero's the platform we use with all our clients. It's probably the most used system now. And I think it is now the most used accounting system in New Zealand. And if it's not up-to-date or it's inaccurate, then you can't make informed decisions. So, Tanya and Naomi, that's why you're here today, is talk a little about that. So then maybe we just start off with, let's start off with some basics. And Naomi, I'll start with you. Like, what's the one or two things, and you know, what are the one or two things you see business owners like either not do or make mistakes? And what's the common things that just business owners are not doing in zero or using zero for, maybe?
I think the most common thing that we see is in the bank rec. So people just making mistakes with their coding or using slightly different codes for the same item at different times, particularly with things like office expenses and printing and stationery is a really common one where people sort of interchange them quite a little bit and end up with muddy data. And I think it's really easy with Xero, because it does learn, to assume that Xero's got it right.
Yep.
And I think with
the big green tick, the green tick's there. So it must be right.
Yep. Remembering a transfer from last time, it's remembered what I coded this to last time. It's, I would say, with a very simple business, it's about 95% accurate.
Yeah.
Which is great, but you need to just slow down and really be looking for that 5% that isn't quite right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as getting food from the petrol station. We'll think it's petrol for the car.
Yes.
As a good example as well. So, yeah.
So, you know, the technology is taking over the world, as we all know, and it's wonderful, but it's not bulletproof is what we're saying, really.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Tanya, from you, what's the sort of common things that you see from clients? And look, maybe it's, you know, and part of it's maybe it's not clients necessarily fault or anything. It's just not knowing. But what is some of the common areas or issues that clients do within their Xero files?
I guess one of the ones for me is making sure all the accounts are loaded into Xero, no matter what bank they're from or if they're credit cards as well, because they all do interact with each other and it gives us the full picture. It also means when they're doing transfers, we can see the other end of that transfer rather than having to guess exactly where it went or why it went there.
Yep, yep. I guess coming back to your point, Naomi, is I guess a bit of a tangent here. Part of this, I guess, with Xero is probably and the reconciliation, I guess, can be pushed down the priority list from a business owner, you know, maybe 10, 12, 20th priority on their list. I've got staff, I've got clients, I've got a pandemic to worry about. Because Xero makes it so easy and just tick, are people just kind of not spending enough time actually getting to know Xero and then what it can do? Is it because it's so simple they go, oh, that's taken care of? Like, because you do need to put time into it, would be fair to say, isn't it?
Yeah. I think there's a bit of a common misconception that, oh, yeah, I can get Xero and everybody can use it. And then there's a feeling like if you're not getting it, that you're the only one. It's quite you're quite isolated when you've got a small business. So it's just understanding, actually, everybody has to learn how to use it. Everybody needs to learn some basic account skills if you're going to do it yourself. Not everybody loves it. Some people really love, you know, that they're like really get satisfaction out of matching things off and seeing things balance. Other people, it just is like, oh, I'd rather clean the cat than do this. And I think if you're not loving it, if you've got enough of an understanding, that's probably what you need as a business owner, more than feeling like this is something I have to do because I own a business.
Yep. Mm. And I think in some ways the finances as a whole, it's not the reason you got into business in the first place. It's a byproduct, and we all have to do it, but it's not something that you're going to love, as you said. No, I mean, then it becomes down the priority list. It gets left alone and not looked at on a regular basis. Is that part of it, Tanya? Is some regular cadence by business owners of actually going into Xero to actually make sure they're updating stuff? Because we've seen clients where they do it just before GST time or whatever, and it's just 2 months of data. Like, is part of it breaking it down into bite-sized pieces so you're actually regularly updating on a daily, or I don't know, a couple of days, every second day or something?
That would make it a lot easier to remember what you bought or to get those receipts entered or invoices entered into Xero. The other thing we see is a lot of business owners, it is the partner, the wife, the other half that ends up doing these accounts, and they usually work a job as well, and this is their nighttime job. That they don't always have the time, or the other person isn't there to communicate with to find out all the information that's needed. So they end up, you know, guessing some of this, or it does get left, forgotten about, GST's due, and they're just pushing it through to get the GST done on time. So you're breaking it down, you know, even small businesses once a week to keep up to date with things is the best way to do it, really.
Yeah. And you touched on there, Tanya, on information and receipts and getting the information to Xero, which often can be, I guess, a disconnect is I've bought something, I've got a, and you know, obviously lots of things now are not on paper, but it's outside of Xero. So what are some of the things that people can do to help automate or make it easier to get the information into Xero? Naomi, I'll start with you on that one.
Automation? Yeah, absolutely. HubDoc is the thing that immediately springs to mind for that one. So Xero has purchased a company called HubDoc, which is basically a tool that will read your bills for you. So it reads the bills and it pulls the information off it that you used to have to manually do quite a lot of data entry to pull the invoice number, the date that it has to be paid, the value of the invoice, and HubDoc will also learn, so it'll remember where you've coded it to previously, and it also files it, so you end up with a file copy in HubDoc as well as a file in Xero, which is really handy. I think it's important with that one, you need to still have that understanding of what you're coding to, of where it's going, and I think really what it comes down to is actually understanding the value of why you're doing that. So I think a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I have to do this for GST. It's actually a whole lot more than just GST. It's actually getting really good reporting. So, you know, so you can look at your P&L, you can look at your balance sheet, you know it's accurate, you can see, you know, where are your expenses going, what are your revenue streams, which revenue stream is working better. You know, it's getting it all to work and aligning with your goals as well.
Yeah. Because Tanya, I guess with clients you've worked with, or client maybe new clients you kind of get involved in, you know, Naomi's touched on there the ability that the P&L is, yeah, and the accounts. I think people solely go, well, hey, it's just for the tax man and IRD, but actually, it's the results of your business. It's the output of the work you've put in, what you've sold, how you've sold it, the decisions you've made on purchasing and all those things. It's the results sheet, as I always call it. So what are the things, maybe that some of the features, or because I know there's things like tracking and all this sort of stuff, which probably not everyone's aware of, but what are some of the things that people can do in Xero that helps them use the data or sort of show the data in ways that would make sense to them and their business that they're maybe not aware of?
Good question. There is the tracking that people don't know about. You can split into regions if you've got multiple businesses in different parts of New Zealand. That's always a good one. But it's even breaking down those chart of accounts into those regions as well, or breaking down those sales into, you know, what are the sales from, and breaking those down so you can look at those reports, find out where the revenue is coming from, and maybe then focus more your business within those avenues rather than the one that's not making the money. And, you know, with COVID around, people are changing the way they're making money or selling things. And it's finding out, are they working or are they not? Where can they, you know, slightly change things to make them work better? So for me, it's breaking down that chart of accounts a wee bit more is always a good place to start. And it's quite easy to do, and you don't have to go overboard with it. It's quite a basic thing that people
it's also a process, isn't it? You don't have to have this ultimate machine that reports and everything. You know, it's a starting point, but there is so often, don't we? We see zero for a client and all they've got is sales in their charts of accounts and that's it. But if you sell, simplify it, a product and a service in your business, and maybe you do installations of signage or something, and you've got signs which are hard item or product, and then you do a service to installation. If you can't track that, you're kind of flying blind, aren't you? And it's simple things by breaking down your chart of accounts, you said, Tony, just starts to give you a little bit more insight, and you can start to understand that before maybe taking the next step. Would that be kind of fair to say?
Absolutely. And you can break down the other side of that as well. You can break down the wages side. So you can find out how long it's taking for those separate jobs as well. So you're finding out the costs as well as the revenue coming in, and making sure that you actually are making money and that the jobs aren't taking longer than you think, or, you know, you might be able to change the personnel, the number of staff, or whatever it needs to be to make that more cost effective for your business.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've got so many questions that are coming out of your responses. This is fantastic. I'll go on to, I'll sort of jump on that one, Tanya. And I guess this leads on you talked about job profitability in that example. And I guess this leads on into the world of add-ons in Xero. And Xero have just launched, I think it was 3 weeks ago, that it's now called the Xero App Marketplace or something. And it's obviously grown and grown to, you know, whether it's inventory, whether it's job management, whether it's point of sale, there's plenty of things that can now plug into Xero, which helps sort of get, you know, that information in. I guess my question is, we've seen them done well and we've seen them cause some issues. It's kind of a little heart attack moment. Oh, you've got add-ons. Okay, let's see how that's going for you. And don't get us wrong, like, it's, if you get them set up well, they obviously can give you such great insight. But if people listening to this podcast are going, hey, I'm a tradie, so I'm thinking of something like Fergus or Tradeify, or if I'm in a product basis, I'm thinking of something like Unleashed. Where do people start with that? Because if you get them wrong, they can get messy. Like, what's the top tips of how you explore maybe the apps that you could maybe be using in your business? Mm-hmm. Who's gonna take that one? Do I nominate or do I?
I think it's really important to spend the time at the beginning. So really do your research. You end up with a lot of really valuable information in these apps. So you don't want to get a year down the track or 2 years down the track and you've outgrown the app.
Yep.
You've got. So you want to future-proof as best as you can, sort of aligning with the goals that you have for your business. And I think the other thing that's really important is to get as much help as you can to make sure that you've got it set up properly. Pretty much all of the problems that we see with apps is just when those codes aren't quite right in the back of them, and you end up with some really odd information coming into Xero.
It's getting the integration correctly. That's a big one. It's not integrating properly, and so it's doubling up on some codes or whatever else is going on. Stock movements aren't happening. So it's making sure that's set up. And a lot of these app places, they're really approachable. If you did need to call them up and have a chat to them about what's going to work for your business, I think you need to know what you're looking for within the app. What is it what's a problem in your business that you need to solve, and then finding the one that's going to solve those problems, and then, like Naomi said, making sure it's going to solve them in the future too and not just the here and there.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, piece of advice, saying like, be clear, I guess, you know, because it is, we're in this economy of technology and you should be using technology. And, to be honest, I preached about it in the last podcast about that, use technology to help get better insights in your business. But I think your point there, Tanya, being clear, what's the problem you're actually trying to solve here? And it could be something like, hey, I want to just have better visibility of my job management, or I've just got better understanding of inventory or whatever it is, fine. But I think you're right. You've got to be clear. I think the benefit also we've got in New Zealand now is we've got a number of New Zealand, like really good New Zealand suppliers, you know, like whether it's Tradeify or Fergus or New Zealand companies, Unleash is a New Zealand company, Vend and all those sorts of stuff. So there's plenty, as you said, plenty of support out there from these app companies to help you get on board with training and support, which is really, really cool. I think that just going on from the whole app idea is, I guess we're in a world of contactless payment now. Well, we are in Auckland for people yeah. who are 10 years in Christchurch and Naomi's in Tauranga, so that you are in a different world to me. But I guess also that links to efficiency of how people get paid. That is, I guess, and I know there's more automation you can get in Xero. So Naomi, if I'm, you know, an invoice-based company and that's always the way I've done things, what are some things that some business owners can think differently about to help get paid better on time? Because I know Xero have got some stuff around that nowadays.
Sorry, if you're a what-based company?
So say if I'm a traditional invoice-based company that sends an invoice and then I have to go and chase them up. I know, and we're in a world where, you know, we're a lot, you know, less face-to-face. Like what are things that, what tips have we got around that?
Oh, honestly, I don't think you can go past turning on your invoice reminders.
Yeah. The amount of clients that don't.
Is that the top tip?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's going to save you so much time. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is turn it on.
Just customize it. You can customize the date ranges.
So I know that sounds obvious. Talk us through what invoice reminders does for a client. What does it? Is it? So I've sent my invoice out to Joe Blogs. What can you do within that function of Xero?
Invoice reminders, you can set it so if you're sort of a 20th of the following month due date, you can set your reminder so that it will send an automatic reminder if that hasn't been paid, sort of like maybe by the 30th, if that hasn't been paid, it will automatically send a reminder. And and you can also go in and
do your template.
That's what I'm trying to say. So you can, you know, you can put in your own wording. So it's, you know, it doesn't have to be aggressive. It can just be hi, you know, I think this might have gone missing in the cyberspace. And you can set that to send out two or three reminders. And I've seen some really big differences in, you know, sort of clients who had $100,000 outstanding who are now down to $20,000. And the only thing that they've changed is turning on invoice reminders.
Just making sure that your details, bank details at the bottom are pretty clear as well. Some people forget to put their bank account details on the bottom of them.
Yeah, I've had that as well, you know, from whether it's a tradie or whether, and you're like, and you're sitting there on the invoice and it's like font, I don't know, whatever. And you just make it as simple as possible for people to do. The other one I had recently actually was the electrician. He did some work for my house. I think he uses Fergus. And so that said, hey, if you want to pay us, and that was moot through the Fergus thing rather than Xero, but pay now was a big button. Hit the button, pay now on the invoice, and it was like, do you want to do pay online or through direct payment? I said direct payment, and up came in like filled the screen, here's my bank account, use this reference number. That was cool. But also if I wanted to pay like for free credit card, it also provided that mechanism as well, and I was like, that's just awesome. Like, you know, and it just made it super simple as a customer. Because I think that's part of what you're saying, Tanya. Make it easy for the customer to pay you is kind of the first point of call, isn't it?
Yeah. If you're going to do the whole go cardless or, you know, pay by credit card, you need to have that end set up in Xero and approved as well. Go into a holding account that Xero makes in your account, just sits there until you actually need to approve the payments, and then you can kind of Yeah, so I've seen it before. It just hasn't been set up correctly. It just kind of sits there, and there's a bit of confusion if, you know, have they paid, have they not paid, because I can't see the money. It wasn't a bank feed, but it had been paid. It just, the setup wasn't done, wasn't finished.
So if people want to use, say, Go Cardless or Stripe or whatever they're, what the ones there are, is it's kind of like what we're talking about, the integrations in general. Take some time and make sure you set up properly and reach out for support if you need it, I guess, is the key thing. Yeah, it's not, because yeah. I guess there's a lot of these things, like, they make it sound so simple, but there is always those little fish hooks that people need to get right. Otherwise, it doesn't quite work as it's supposed to, is it really?
Mm. I think you need to look at your business as well. Like, you would need to be pushing through quite a lot of transactions to be looking at something like Stripe.
So I think that's a nice jump when I said, hey, get some support, is that you guys obviously work with a range of different clients, different industries, big, small, and everything. Like, and a lot of what we're talking about is what you do for your clients every day, day in, day out, and obviously trying to make sure they've got the right information in their accounts, but also give some automation and simplicity to what they do. You know, give them back some time. So, Tanya, not that this podcast is a sales pitch, but I guess we are now in a sales pitch mode. But what, honest question, what is the, I know it sounds a bit facetious, what's the benefit of a bookkeeper to a business?
So many. Where do you start?
Well, we should just keep going. Going forever.
How long is this podcast? a couple of things spring to mind, and that's getting the business owner or that person time back for them, yeah, or time back for their business. A lot of times the business owners or the partners are doing this nights or weekends, and they're losing that family time. Or losing the ability to sell part, you know, some of the revenue stream, because they're stuck away in an office, doing the bookkeeping side of it, doing the bank recs, doing the invoicing, whatever it is, doing the reconciliation. The other thing is it can bring down, accountants' fees, because all of a sudden you are getting all your information in correctly, things are up to date, problems are picked up earlier, dealt with. So the time of accounts come around, actually it's more of a simple job, or not as many things to have to follow up, because it's been done throughout the year.
Yeah.
So there's two, I guess, major things, and two things that we see quite commonly, that I see quite commonly from people I work with anyway.
What would you add to that, Naomi?
I completely agree. I think a lot of businesses have a bit of a false economy going on, where they think, oh, well, if I do this myself, I can save money. But actually, ultimately, it's becoming more of a cost because of the errors that then have to be fixed by somebody who's a bit more expensive than a bookkeeper. And also the time that you're spending doing it, where you could be doing what you're really good at.
Yeah.
And increasing your income. And I think it's important to really put your skills to work with your goal setting, with where you want to go, with what the numbers mean, rather than perhaps getting bogged down in the day-to-day, I've got to match these things off and try and get everything balanced and
Yeah, I think, from the way I, view bookkeeping, especially when I talk to clients, I've got a few clients that work with you guys on this, is I think it's the opportunity cost. I think you're right, Naomi. I think, zero, it's simple. If I do it, there's no cost and I can do it. But it kind of leaning on your point, Tanya, well, when are you doing that? Like, if you're doing it 6 p.m. at night, or when you could be kicking the football with the kids in the garden, well, is that the greatest, best use of time? Or are you doing it at the consequence of other things you could be doing in your business, whether it's working with your staff or working with customers or whatever it that is important? It's the opportunity cost of what else you could do with that time. But I think also there's the expertise that we've talked about a little bit, very briefly on here, is, you guys really can help with decision making by getting that information into a way that makes sense to a business owner. As you said, Tanya, earlier, whether it's different product lines or different service lines, us helping them get that information in a way so that they know how many they're selling of this and what the cost is just, invaluable. And I think in the world that we live in now, where things are changing so fast, and you know, ways of doing businesses are changing, information is crucial to in the right format. It's going to be really important to that. So, yeah, as I said, it's not a sales job for bookkeeping, but I just think that the insights that our bookkeeping clients have on their numbers compared to people that don't, and as you said, some people are geared this way anyway as business owners, I just think is amazing, you know, for them.
I think, you know, talking more as a business owner than as a bookkeeper, it's so important. Like, you would never get in the car and just start randomly driving around, would you? Like, you would want to know where you're going and how you're getting there. And the
lockdown's done some crazy things to people. No, man, just get me out of the house. But it's a good point, though, isn't it? It is like, you know, you put some analogies on it. It's going to be like, oh, I wouldn't do that. But you would with your accounts.
But we're not there to, you know, to take over and not let them know anything that's going on in their business. They're part of their team, working with them for them, to help, you know, sort of try and help them. We're not trying to get in the way or make things worse or say this is all wrong. What have you done? Like, you shouldn't have done that. You're a fool. Like, we don't mean or say any of that. It's trying to help them, trying to teach them at the same time, and trying to get their business better so they do get that correct data so they can get the full picture. It's you know, us working with them as part of their business for that time.
Awesome. Tanya, as I know you're the resident payroll expert, we might as well talk a bit about payroll, because you know, it can be a minefield. Again, there's all, you know, technology's helping us with that. We've got smart payroll, iPayroll, PaySource. There's plenty of New Zealand companies that have got some good technology solutions, which on the face of it automate some stuff. But what are, you know, Tanya, what are the sort of things that business owners who have got a payroll software or manage it themselves, what are the things that you see are often things that people get wrong, and what are the sort of things people have to be wary of with payroll? Because if you get payroll wrong,
you're in trouble.
Whether it's your staff being a grumpy or the tax man being grumpy, one of them, someone's gonna be grumpy.
Yeah, someone will be grumpy. One of the things we see or have to do the most checks is for holiday pay or final pays. It's the thing that's not understood as well by both employers and employees. They don't kind of get the difference of annual leave and holiday pay and how it's calculated. And also, if you're on the wrong system, then that can get calculated incorrectly for you. And it's one thing I've come up recently a few times. I'm not going to pick on Zero Payroll, but it's Zero Payroll. And it's just for people that are working such a lot of varied hours. When you have to enter in what they're working and it's not a regular pattern, it won't calculate the leave correctly. So you need to make sure you've got the system again that's working for you, and doing a check every now and then, and it's something that pays off in the long run. When they do leave, you know everything's correct, or when Department of Labor comes knocking for an audit, you know it's all sorted.
So I guess, because I think that's a good point, Tanya, is that not all payroll systems are the same, are they? They all have their own little strengths, and hey, we're good at this and others are good. So it comes back to your point when you said about, hey, I'm looking at an app. Generally, what of it? What does it need to do? I guess to your point, if there's someone like Casual Hours, there'll be, you know, I know some payroll things have timesheets built into them, others don't. So it is scoping out fully, isn't it? Because again, Zero Payroll, it seems simple because it's the one that's just integrated, so I'll just go for it. But yeah, just because it's maybe also was one of the cheaper ones doesn't mean it's the better one. That'd be
there are others out there that are similar prices to Xero and have the same features. So they don't automate the payments to the IRD or to the staff. But meanwhile, I'm pretty confident that they're calculating the leave correctly.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it with other, you know, with other businesses that I use there. So, you know, price does come into it. How automated do you want this? And what features do you need for your business? But what data, again, do you want to get out the other end? And these, you know, PaySource, SmartPay, they all integrate with Xero. So it's not like you can't get the integration going on there either.
Okay, we're coming to the end, and I'll come to you first, Naomi. I guess what's, you know, we've already had the key top takeaway, God, I think of that right, which was invoice reminders. But yeah, what would be your, you know, final recommendations to any business owner when it comes to Xero and making sure your data is correct? What would be your top tip?
Top tip, I think if you are new to Xero, if you go to the top blue bar, accounts, scroll down to chart of accounts, hit the expenses tab and print PDF. Laminate it, learn it, love it.
And so why do people need to do that? Let's talk about
it. I think it's a lot easier if you have all of your codes that are available to you in front of you, and you can scroll down and see what you're looking for, rather than trying to find out. What happens when you're trying to do the drop down on Xero is you'll come to the first one that seems like it's right, and you'll go, oh yeah, that one. But there might actually be something that is more appropriate. The
right one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess, and the other part is, I guess, and we there seems to be a theme of at the start, which kind of seems to be our theme today, is part of it would be also, would it be Nomi is saying, hey, these are my chart of accounts and my line items, my chart of accounts, is probably having a very clear picture of what does that mean to you? Because, mm-hmm. you know, like I've got it with a client at the moment, and all he's got in there is advertising. But we know, in his expenses, this is an operational expenses, but he is throwing so many things into that we want, there's a couple of things we want to give a better understanding of. Well, hey, if we're spending money on this, what's the return and stuff? So we're splitting it out into, you know, marketing costs, sales costs, and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But it is probably being clear what does that mean to you, because some of them are very broad, aren't they? And yeah. You don't want to be 1 week throwing one thing into there and another week into there, is it? So it's mm-hmm. probably also being clear, what does this mean to you? Would that be a fair tip alongside your printing?
It's, yeah, and sort of knowing what it is that you need to know for your business. So they're all a little bit unique. I mean, obviously, if you're selling different items, you might need to split that a little bit. If you've revenue streams that we were just talking about, and you're wanting to split that out a little bit more. It's just about getting it right for your business and the information that you need to pull out of it.
Yeah. Tanya, to you, your top tip to take away.
Get training.
Oh, fantastic.
Like, so an hour, maybe more, maybe less, but about an hour of your time to learn how to do these things correctly right from the get-go, or to help you catch up if you're unsure if you're doing it right. You know, it doesn't take much for one of us to jump into the account, have a look what's right, what's wrong, do some specific training on what you need help with or what we can help fix up, and then we're there if you need us.
Cool. Awesome. And for everyone listening, I will put a link in the show notes where you can scroll down and just, there'll be our contact details and we can connect you with Tanya, Nomi, Ange, Wendy, one of our wonderful bookkeepers, if you want some training. But I think there's some key messages here. Get set up properly, whether it's app or Xero, take some time, get your invoice reminders on. And I think that's definitely going to be important leading up to the Christmas time, because who knows if we're going on holiday this year. But, you know, I think with this period of time, we know that January is a really high time cash flow wise to get paid because people are on leave. So invoice reminders are really, really important. But we'll put all the tips down there and links and whatever. But thanks, Tanya and Nomi. Wonderful. And thanks for coming on the podcast.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.